G'day. Indy Wood here. You are listening to The Local Update, a podcast focused on local issues and events taking place around the Bega Valley. Produced by Indy Media and available from indymedia.com.au or on your favourite podcast provider. Coming up this week, we'll catch up with Mia Mays, the manager of the Bega Valley Innovation Hub, to find out about training opportunities and the work that the Innovation Hub does in developing business opportunities around the Bega Valley. We'll kick things off, though, as we do each week, by catching up with local businessman, historian, artist, Mr. Graham Farram, who this week is off to Candalo, back to where we were last week.
We left Edwin Brady last week en route to Candalo. This is from Australia Unlimited, the chapter The Land of Milk and Honey, page 272. Traversing a short belt of red volcanic country, yet virgin to settlement, we beheld, from the summit of this mountain, one of the finest panoramic views in the state of New South Wales. They're up on Birtle Mountain. Kamaruka lay beneath us, with its boundaries of dark pines and the pretty little town of Candalo at the head of the Bega Valley. Candalo is famed for feminine beauty. In spring, all this scope of rolling hillsides, where forest and farm alternate, is a green garden of fertility, which is very nice. I'm going to come back to Kamaruka, but for a different perspective of the town is offered in Candalo Recollections. This is circa 1984 on page 35. It's an ode to Candalo by a nod. We're on the road to Candalo, down the Tandawangalo, twisting and winding, soon we'll know that little town of Candalo. They said a sleepy English town is what you'll find, but what we found was parties, brawls and cops all round in sleepy Candalo. Retallix is the pub down there, the publican will cut your hair or make it stand on end for fair there in Candalo. A port a garf, a hearty laugh, and stories you must cut in half. They give and take their share of chaff in laughing Candalo. One bloke says, "Hey, I'll bet a quid that you can't ride my horse, old kid. A tenner, come on, what's your bid in equine Candalo?" Another, using only teeth, lifts tables up, no hands beneath. I hope he doesn't buy us teeth for dough in Candalo. A traveller stops to rest a night, has several ales, then sees a fight. All thoughts of sleep are put to flight in wakeful Candalo. The roof shoots on. We gather round. Before we go, we'll spend a pound. By 10, we're killing them with sound in roaring Candalo. We're on the road from Candalo. We've got 300 miles to go. But we'll be back, for now we know the mighty town of Candalo. That's bullet teams coming down the Tandawangalo. On the next page, page 36, there's an old newspaper advertisement for Candalo Butchery. C.T. Wilton, the people's popular butcher, William Street, Candalo. Only the primest bullocks and sheep slaughtered. Small goods a speciality. Families waited on daily. Country orders, promptly attended to. Oh, all those good things, shopping that we used to do. My sources disagree on some point, but it seems Hilda James grew up on Kamaruka, raised by her grandparents. She married Charles Spindler from the estate. From a draft of page 22, Recollections 19, published by the South Coast Historical Society. It's up on the web now, but it's yet to be distributed. It says Hilda used the pen name K. Kate O'Connor and wrote numerous wonderfully descriptive poems about the Bega Valley that were published in the Bega District News by its editor from 1902 to 1946, Walter A. Smith. A little bit further, a book of her poems was produced titled Bega the Beautiful. All the money raised from its sales was donated to the local World War One Soldiers Fund. This book of poetry was published in the 1920s. Staying with bullocks for a moment, this poem, Teams and Teamsters, on the Tarsa Road, has been published a number of times in Tales of the Far South Coast, Volume 3, 1986, on pages 51 and 52, where it's quoted from the Bega District News, the 4th of September, 1924, and in Roads to Water by Norm Evans, 2011, where it states that it is reproduced with permission of her grandson, Mr. Robert Monk, Ron Monk of Tarsa. This version is from Bega the Beautiful, a copy of which is in the Bega Valley Historical Society collection. Teams and Teamsters on Tarsa Road. When you're voting for progression and the Labor Party's cause, when you're keen on legislature and the parliamentary laws, when you're spending all your energy in booming up the land, just give a thought in season to the blessings near at hand. In the rush and bustle, hurry that we live in, so it seems, we forget how we're indebted to the Teamsters and the teams. How they trudge along the highway, sweating teams and swinging load. Some honest, faithful workers are the Teamsters on our road. Wagons may be ancient and the pages not too grand, but we hear their praises quoted and sung on every hand. In the daylight, in the darkness, through the wind and sleet and rain, the patient teams plod to and fro again and yet again. When the water spread on Dilla and the flood was at its height, covering acre upon acre, it was an awe-inspiring sight. It's Dinkum what I'm telling you. You recollect the flood that left the road at Dilla just a stretch of bog and mud. No traffic for the lorries then, with all their swank and power, but the persevering Teamsters were the heroes of the hour. When our member makes a formal call of Bega on his round and his entertainment luncheon in the recreation ground, when the good things have been eaten and the speeches all put through and petitions have been presented from the Shire and Council too, would be the time to ask him, so it seems to me, for a grant upon the road that lies between Bega and the sea. Type requests and applications have been made in days of yore, but we seem no further forward than we ever were before. And then at some swell banquet where the big guns of the trade puff out their chests and specify about the progress made, our petitions are forgotten, requisitions end as dreams, and we will go on depending on the Teamsters and the teams. Well, the bullock teams were pretty important down here. I've mentioned them before. The Bega Pioneers Museum has a fine hand-coloured photographic portrait of Mrs. Charles Spindler. When we're open again, I recommend you try and look it out. I can just imagine her sitting in Carr Street collecting impressions for this poem. Meditation on Rickson's Veranda. This is for all those people who'd like to go shopping or would just like to sit around and watch other people shopping. This is a lovely poem, Meditation on Rickson's Veranda. There's a rumour concerning improvements in town. 'Tis an age of progression, they say. This mania for building and painting afresh is all very well in its way. One cannot object to the plan, it is true, for it benefits wealthy and poor, so long that it leaves that veranda the same, which has stood there for years in sunshine and rain, just opposite Rosenthal's store. In Bega society, capital S, there are classes and sections and grades, for certainly discipline must be maintained, and all men are classed by their trades. But in everyday life, the crowd hovers round to squat on the dusty old floor. All creeds are forgotten, all castes levelled down. And the man on the land holds his own with the town when they gather to gossip once more. The topics include all the news of the time, the price of the pigs and the maize, the drought that has been and the one that's to come, and a sigh for the old-fashioned days. The rest of the busy world goes on its way, but a score of admirers or more move a motion to pass when the council shall meet, that the council shall place a community seat just opposite Rosenthal's store. Now, Rickson's stood where Rickson's arcade is now. Rosenthal's store was just about directly opposite over there where the furniture shop is now. And I think that's a lovely egalitarian poem. My last offering today is her poem, Malacuda. It's rather good, too. Here's another kind of dreaming. Malacuda's been in my mind after the fires. We mentioned drought, we mentioned flood. This one gives a mention of fire that got me thinking a little bit. But I'll just give it to you. Malacuda. There's a cottage in my memory that I'm thinking of tonight, and I fancy I can see it in the glowing firelight. The walls are thick with ivy and creepers twining round, and in that peaceful haven my happiness I found. In the garden, I remember, there were roses blooming red, and the laughing April breezes stirred the branches overhead. That dear old-fashioned garden of my life it seemed a part, to shelter mid the flowers, mid the treasure of my heart. So I'm sitting in the firelight, but my thoughts are far away. I'm thinking of that cottage I shall surely see some day. It is just a tiny cottage, and it seems to stand apart. But that humble little dwelling holds the treasure of my heart. That's Kate O'Connor from Beagle the Beautiful, and I wonder if that tiny cottage is actually still there after the fires that we suffered earlier this year. A life of Mrs. Hilda Spindler is given in They Made This Valley Home, as told by Sandra Florence and Diane Pryor, published by the Beagle Valley Historical Society. It's available from the museum. On page 21, it mentions her love of writing and poetry. I would really like to see some of the paintings. I've not had the privilege of doing that yet. Thanks, Indigo.
Now, this all ties in very well because you'll remember that in last week's episode, we caught up with Sam Martin and talked about the impact that the virus was having on the creative industry in Candalo.
I think they've been doing really well from what I can tell from things that I hear on the local ABC radio. But that's not a money-earning thing. That's just a way to stay in touch and keep working. I like it.
Graham Farram spent a long time as the proprietor of secondhand bookstore Mumford's Books. He's also an artist. And more recently, he's been spending some time in the Bega Pioneers Museum. We catch up with him each week to find out what little tidbit he's found from his collection. ...2020 really kicked off with a bang, particularly here on the south coast of New South Wales. Coming out of a 10-year drought into major bushfires and then this COVID-19 event, the economic downturn has left this tourist community really on its knees. The Bega Valley Innovation Hub has been working for the last 2 years to assist businesses around the region in rethinking what they offer and how they offer it. And right now, that thought process has become really important, with people needing to think about how to offer their services online when perhaps they haven't done so in the past. Mia Mays is the General Manager of the Bega Valley Innovation Hub. I caught up with her recently and she told me they're working to offer a whole series of workshops online for free that'll teach businesses about how to engage online and work with social media.
Bega Valley Innovation Hub came to our region about 2 years ago, and it was a mastermind idea by an amazing group of individuals that wanted to help develop jobs for our region, wanted to make sure that the kids of today could access jobs and jobs that would be responsive to the climates that they were growing up in. So they applied for a federal grant, Incubator Support Initiative grant, and were successful. So once we received that grant, we then went about to set up the Innovation Hub, which is now a thriving community of mentors, educators, and founders, businesses that are accessing that training and workshop so that they can better their business and grow a sustainable business that can continue with the economic recovery of our region and also develop jobs for the region and trade both regionally, locally, and internationally.
So who's it for? Who's it aimed at?
Yeah, the Innovation Hub, great question. The Innovation Hub is aimed at business founders. So those people that want to create their own business or continue to strive in their business. So it's really the business founders, those people that are the ones that actually make the decisions as product managers, the people that are actually take a product to market and those businesses that the people that are responsible for the economy or the driving business for that business.
There must be a set of guidelines, a premise, a kind of framework there though that indicates what type of business you're looking for.
Yeah, there is, and the businesses that we like to work with are those businesses that want to be different, the businesses that want to disrupt the market, and the businesses that are capable and ready to adapt change. Innovation generally always leads to change. The reason for that is because we look to do things differently. We look at ways we can support those businesses so that we can continue to link them, connect them, and help them grow differently than what they already are now. So, yes, it's those businesses that are able to adapt to that, the businesses that are able to resolve, and often, more often than not, are able to pivot their business so that they can build that sustainable business that we'll assist them to do.
That innovation and kind of change-making thing is a really strong and good point. We'll come back to that in a moment. But I'm interested in who the experts are that you turn to for the training, for the advice.
Yeah, so the experts are brought about through the requirements that we need for our local market. So we started off at the Innovation Hub with bringing down trainers and mentors from our wonderful program partner, iAccelerate, to deliver the sessions that we needed to deliver. We've been extremely excited and pleased and encouraged by our local community who have come out and come to visit the Innovation Hub and become part of our family now. So we've now encouraged our local founders as well as our local mentors and local experts that we have within the Bega Valley to come out and actually be part of that community. So it's been an ever-expanding journey and continues to be that. But the experts we have at the moment, some of them are external experts. Most of them are actually our local experts, which is exactly what we wanted to do because it helps us to create those jobs for our region.
We've had one hell of a start to 2020, haven't we? We've had bushfires, then we've had this COVID-19 disaster that's taken place. The adaptation and kind of rethinking of what a business is and the service they provide must have been key to anyone that was in the middle of doing any training or anything at this point in time. How have these businesses changed and adapted to fit into this situation?
Yeah, look, since the bushfires, which none of us expected, we took on a great role where we're able to assist those businesses that were already in contact with us and also adapt our offering by allowing hot desking space at the Bega Valley Innovation Hub and also a series of workshops that were just designed to stabilise business founders and stabilise those businesses. After the effects of the bushfires and then COVID-19, obviously the disruption to our region was so large and continues to be large. The businesses are suffering, we all know that, but when they connect with local knowledge and when they and expertise and other business owners, they are able to take on that change of mindset and that ability to think creatively and differently and look at what they are offering. So that's what we were able to assist with through the workshops that we created. Some of the businesses that have come through the Innovation Hub prior to the bushfires, we saw that they were able to change almost overnight because they had that training, because they had the assistance, they already had those connections. We were putting people in contact, with government departments, with large manufacturers, with resources, that they are able to change and pivot their business exactly the way they needed to in a very short amount of time. The businesses that hadn't had contact with the Innovation Hub but then became part of our community and joined our workshops were able to then get into that mindset where they can actually do something different. Some of them were still unable to even be in their own place of business. Some of them were still actually living in caravans. Some of them are actually still displaced from the bushfires, but they didn't let that stop them. And that was the amazing experience that we had through the Innovation Hub, is that we could create that opportunity where people said, well, that's okay. This isn't great. We didn't want this, but we can overcome it and we can continue to do business. And somehow we can continue to make trade. So we saw businesses that were still turning over $30,000, $40,000 a month because they had already made the changes that they needed to be digital. So it didn't matter if they had to shop their close their shop front. They were able to continue to trade.
I'm going to assume that there's probably a few people listening here who will be kind of going through that thing in their head of, well, this is great, but innovation or hot desking or any of those things is not what my business is about. Can you give me some examples of the kind of businesses that are working with you at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really varied and from all sorts of industries. Jed Jones Surfboards, they've got a retail shop in Pambula Main Street, amazing little business there. And they came through the Innovation Hub to help build the business around the surfboards that they manufacture. We've also had Sea Health Products, which was a business, or is remains a business still and ever growing, that actually takes golden sea kelp from the oceans and turns that into a health food product. So also another one of our amazing businesses, Saarinen Organics. Saarinen Organics has organic skincare products. They have a permaculture farm. Their permaculture farm was almost flattened through the bushfires, and they came to us with 42 skincare products, and we helped them shape their business to what it is today, which allows them to continue to sell those skincare products. Some of them now they've had to change, obviously, because they don't have the herbs actually growing in their garden, but actually now they're able to change what they're doing and grow more and grow different ones that can actually re-establish themselves. So really businesses from all sorts of different walks of life. I think that's what's great about innovation is that it doesn't predict. All it really takes is that little spark in somebody that has seen that there's something missing from their community, from their region, and that they're willing to make a change. They're willing to be the person that actually takes that and builds a business around it so that they can encourage their community to change with it.
I'm sure that it's not just the businesses that you're working with that have had to be innovative and kind of deal with a transition into a digital space. What have you had to do as an organisation in this time?
Yeah, we had to do what everyone else did. And I'm going to use that magic word pivot again, because we had to do exactly what we've asked everybody else to do within a matter of days after opening up the Innovation Hub to even more people through hot desking and a location. When COVID-19 reached our region, we obviously needed to reassess and say, hang on a minute, we're asking people to come together, but the government's asking us to become distance And so we then needed to work out how we were going to deliver that. So we went very quickly within a matter of a week. We were able to adopt some digital technologies out there and introduce our training and co-working using digital technologies and using online systems. And, you know, like everyone, we're still in startup phase. You know, we encourage all the businesses out there to think of themselves, you know, in that, you know, in that vein, because we are really all having to reassess, you know, think about what we're actually needing to do to continue to trade, continue to actually be a business in this area. And that is about doing things differently. So, yeah, so we just did that exactly like we're asking everyone else to do, and we're encouraging everyone else to do, but we thought we needed to be the leaders in this. So we led by doing that. We've had to literally help people get on to you know, onto some great technologies like Zoom, and you know, we use some co-working, some online co-working technologies that they would never have used before. And sometimes it's a matter of a phone call just before a lesson to help that person on. But once they get there, they've been they're opened up to an amazing opportunity where they get to meet other people just like themselves. And you know, feedback has been that experience has been better than they ever expected, and that they wish they hadn't fought it for as long as they did.
That's a perfect opportunity now, I guess, to lead into talking about, you've got a series of lectures happening at the moment online using things like Zoom.
We do, yeah. So we launched Phoenix Resolve, which is our follow-up workshop series to Phoenix Stabilise, which was our response to the bushfires. So we took that response, that series of workshops, and added a few more to them and took the ones that were most popular for our region, and we ran those again. So working from anywhere, anytime, on any device with the wonderful Andy Willis from Tafra, he delivers 9 sessions, which is all about helping people continue with their business regardless of what. What and where they need to now continue their business from. Online digital skills, helping people actually build that website, implement their e-commerce as well, so that they can actually learn how to do trade online. You know, introducing WooCommerce, SEO basics, even touching on design basics, and then how you can use the cloud to obviously keep up to date with your customers and continue to talk. To talk to your customers as well. We've got some great workshops on mindset. We've got some fantastic workshops that allow just those founders to really switch into how they can change their brain, change their mindset and think differently so they can make those changes. We've got some sessions on key financial tools in challenging times. And gosh, it's pretty challenging right now. I think those ones in particular, everyone's looking at how they can implement new financial tools, because we're always being asked to reassess and look at how we're doing there. You know, digital readiness, social media, you know, again, you know, looking at how we can use Facebook, Instagram, all those amazing platforms that, well, through the bushfires, we were encouraged to use with some of those amazing sites like Buy From The Bush and Empty Esky, but there were so many businesses in our region that still didn't have those platforms and allowed them to actually interact. So it was really about helping businesses get ready and actually recover by using those sorts of digital technologies. We've also got a great module on content for distracted audiences, which I just love that one, because I think that's what we all are right now, distracted.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there a cost involved, and how do we find more info about them?
Yeah, look, we've been so lucky in the Bega Valley that we've had this innovation hub come to our region way before the bushfires hit. Obviously, we already knew what drought felt like, and so then when the bushfires hit and then COVID-19, we were already ready to be able to respond. And by that, I mean government was already looking at how they could help in our region. And that help has continued. So we've been really lucky to access some funding to run these programs. So they're all free. So any single one of those workshops that anyone chooses to join, it won't cost them anything at all, just their time. And their time is so valuable for their business today. And if there's just one thing I could ask everyone to do in this time where we're being asked to self-isolate, and that's give yourself the gift of training and education, because this is a time you can do that. Little pause in our world that we've been given those great opportunities. For anyone that wants to join those workshops, you just need to go to our website, the SpeakerValleyInnovationHub.com.au. There's a clear path there to go to the workshops. The series that you're looking for is Phoenix Resolve. And when you pop on there, you'll be taken through to the tiles that help you navigate your way into those courses.
I note also that you look like you've hopefully expanded a little bit and not just Bega Valley anymore.
Yeah, that's another really interesting and amazing pivot that we did. We are now able to open some of those courses up to the Yirrabadawa, which is really exciting. So we're so excited that for the first time we can cross those boundaries and say, you know what, we know you guys are facing the same challenges as what we are down here at the Bega Valley, and we encourage you to become part of our community. We want to help you the same way we have done in the Bega Valley, and so we want to see whether we can connect. We would love to have the experience of bringing those Yirrabadawa businesses into our fold, allow you to workshop with our founders, and make some of those lifelong connections, you know, so that we can all become one, which I think right now, if COVID-19 has given us one sense, it's that it doesn't matter where we are in our region or the world, we're all living through this. And so let's bring us together and see whether we can help the businesses, you know, to recover through these challenges.
As we get through this kind of COVID time, if there's new businesses that want to look at trying to make a start and want to approach you, is there a first step? Do they have to start on set dates, or can they just try and get involved? Or
yeah, that's a great question. We will be moving back into deliver our entrepreneur program, which we are hoping to be able to start this financial year. But we definitely will be looking to move and transition and continue to support the businesses that have access to our workshop to continue with that entrepreneur mindset by becoming part of that entrepreneur program, which we normally do run. We have made some change to that as well. It used to be a 12-week program. We're now making that a little bit more accessible to make it 6 weeks. And, of course, at this point, we're still determining whether that can be delivered online or whether we can go back into our physical location. That program works really well when we're together because we do a lot of workshopping and a lot of breaking into teams. And essentially, we take a cohort, and that cohort of people becomes a team member for each other. So when we bring people together in that atmosphere, and we all work on each other's businesses, we create a really magical environment to grow and expand those businesses. Obviously, with the current situation, we're just trying to play out another few weeks before we make some decisions on timing and also delivery method for that, because it's because of the nature of how we deliver the program into our region. But yes, stay tuned. That'll be updated on our website and also be updated to our newsletter. So make sure you jump on and onto our website and register onto that one as well. We obviously also have Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. So join up and stay connected, and that's how you'd hear about what our plans will be for that. It's once COVID-19 allows us to make the decisions.
Mia Mays is the General Manager of the Bega Valley Innovation Hub. You'll find all the info you need about the Innovation Hub and those courses on our website, indymedia.com.au. Thanks again to Mia for her time today. And also, of course, a big thank you to Graham Farram. We catch up with him each week. My name's Indy Wood. This is The Local Update, a podcast looking at local issues and events around the Bega Valley. You can find a new episode on the website every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. I hope you enjoy what you hear. If you've got any ideas or any events or issues happening around the Bega Valley that you'd like promoted, hit us up, indiemedia.com.au. As I said, my name's Indy Wood. Thank you for your time again this week. We'll catch you again next time. Bye now.